Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 570. Science Faction, resistance is futile.
You know, there's a very special type of nerd it would take to get that. Otherwise, you're just talking nonsense. Now, we both know, first off, I'm Janeway, and that I just slaughter Borg. Borg fear me.
But okay.
I know that we address a science community, and Star Trek is going to be much bigger in that community. I'm just saying.
Listen, first of all, you beat up a couple of kids with cochlear implants. I don't know if we're going to call you Janeway for that.
Resistance was futile for them, I can assure you.
I'm not letting you take over Earth, you fucking machines.
Yeah, as they like see us, there's, you know, excuse me, can you please give us directions to the bus stop? Bam, chair, WWE style, bam.
Yeah, this would be a situation where it'd be funny to see this from two different perspectives. The first is the outsider perspective, where a couple of well-meaning, biologically deaf young men come up to ask for directions from you, and then a person from the outside sees you just savagely beat them and feels horrible and calls the police. And the second would be viewing it from inside your own head, where you are fighting for the sanctity of Earth, and once again, for some reason, are Captain Janeway.
Yeah, I'm like, quick, they have to, I know that they adapt to my weapons, so I need to vary my strikes and grapples. I can't throw the same hit to the groin twice, because they'll adapt.
Oh, and speaking of adapting, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am doing great. And just because I just lived through a fantasy in my head where I saved the universe and was sentenced to 20 years for it.
You know, you'd get like a really horrible serial killer like nickname. Like, they'll call you the Braille Beater or something like that, and that will be your moniker from now on.
Yeah, what if like we find out that like, hey, we don't talk about it a lot, but there are a couple groups that need to watch their backs in prison: pedophiles, ex-cops, and people who attacked those with cochlear implants. I'm gonna just be in protective custody the whole sentence.
And if you guys want to hear more Science Faction, we of course have another weekly episode that comes up on our Patreon. You can search Patreon for Robert Timothy and listen to our I Call BS episode, in which you will hear four science articles from this week. So you will round that out with this particular episode. You will get six every single week, which will make you fairly scientifically literate, and you can watch Damian continue to lose at a game that he has played every week for 8 years.
Now, this is not factually not true. As a matter of fact, early on in the game, I was like on a 13-game winning streak. Now, it's hard to discover
that
because...
Was this like the time that you stopped the Borg from invading? Is that what happened in your head? Were you Janeway in this?
Listen, you can't alter my reality, Bobby. I'm living this like no matter what you say, I still experience it as real. I'm like the guy who comes in his pants at a strip club. Yeah, you want to make fun of me? It's not normal, but guess what? I'm getting more value out of that place than anybody.
Fair enough.
I'm getting more value out of my day with my schizophrenia than you are.
You are a lot like that guy, Damien.
But that is factually untrue. Bobby has hidden the evidence in our earlier episodes, you know, of over 8 years behind a paywall. But there is a way around it, fans. We'd love for you guys, everybody, to become a Patreon of the show. We understand that's not something everybody can do, first off. So if you want to see those episodes, you can go to Podbean. And if you go back far enough to after Jackie leaves, that's when you will see me regularly defeating scientists. Please, somebody, write a real email and send it to me, too. Please. I need to know that these emails exist. This motherfucker's been gaslighting me for 8 years. This is why I'm beating up Handicap. I don't know what's real anymore.
I would show you my phone, but I literally can't pick it up to show you the screen because it's so heavy with emails.
By the way, I should have said I'm beating up people with disabilities. I forgot person first language. I used to be an aide. I got to be better.
All right, let's move right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
All right, article number one, resistance is futile.
Take this, Borg. My son! Oh my God, get that madman off my son!
So I do like this. I'm gonna come out and say this. One, the whole Borg thing, and you may see some stuff about this on popular news sites. We're going to digest one of the
popular news sites.
Yeah, maybe, yes, because just the name is catchy, but they won't go into the science super well. I'm going to digest it. It's a mixture. I think the Borg thing is a little bit of one of those sciencey things where they give something a kind of stupid name or a kind of enticing name, and that's what makes it popular, and people hear about it, and that's it, and they don't actually hear what's underneath it. And usually those stories are kind of nothing stories that just basically get good PR. The difference is this is actually really interesting. So I want to break down what we are describing when we were talking about the discovery of the Borg.
I really would have loved it if you had used a lot of other species, because like if it was the Ferengi, mm-hmm. like I was like, oh no, Bobby's just going to be super anti-Semitic.
Yeah, but that was allowed back in the early 90s when that came about, and even a little bit later when the Phantom Menace came out and had Asian stereotypes as their aliens. So we were allowed to do it with aliens in the 90s and early 2000s.
The Kleons just used to be Mexican guys.
That's true.
Yeah.
That was in the original one. They just had goatees.
Plus, I actually choose to believe that Ferengis, there's really nothing anti-Semitic. If anything, they're a shot at libertarians.
So again, kind of a silly name, but it's actually a really cool discovery. So this centers around something called extra chromosomal elements, or ECEs. Now, this is a field of research that's gotten pretty big in about the last decade as we find more and more of these. And they're really, really interesting. They're basically like this segment, like an extra segment of genes that certain creatures, specifically prokaryotes, can have in their system that is not kind of like their main DNA. It's not their nuclear DNA. It's not what they're using to function in their body. It's almost like these kind of extra little genes that are floating around in there, and they can kind of switch and trade them with each other as part of horizontal gene transfer. And that's kind of how they can, for instance, quickly adapt to antibiotics and stuff, is by sharing ECEs that have genetic codings for antibiotic resistance. So ECEs themselves have been known for a while, and they're interesting, and they do some really neat stuff. But basically, the Borg, so to speak, that was just discovered, is like the grandfather of all ECEs.
So when we fire our virus lasers at they just adapt, and that's this is the mechanism. This is the nano robot which makes it happen.
Well, they call it the Borg because this particular ECE is not only very large, but it has accumulated a bunch of different genes from a bunch of different places, and now it's hanging around in these methanogens, these archaea. And because it's acquired all these different genes from different places, they're like, oh, it's kind of like the Borg. Like, it goes around and like steals abilities and traits and stuff from different species it infects and then keeps going. But keep in mind, when we're talking about this thing, you might be like, wait, so is this the Borg thing? Is this a little animal? What is this? No. What they're essentially saying is these are extra chromosomal elements of creatures we already know. In this case, we're looking at archaea, specifically methanogenic archaea. And archaea, for those of you guys who don't know, they're kind of like bacteria, but they're like a whole group that's almost like bacteria. We didn't even discover until the 1970s, and we think they may have at one point caused a giant mass extinction by producing too much methane, and they're very, very interesting. However, this Borg that was just discovered is a little different than the other ECEs we knew about. First off, it's gigantic. So previous known ECEs...
Size matters, baby.
They are usually small. This one is huge. It's almost a third the size of the organism's regular chromosomes. That's gigantic. They are also linear, as opposed to many ECEs, which are circular. And they have mirrored repetitive sequences at the end of each of the strand. There's a few other like little differences, but basically they stand out as kind of like, they're not a brand new thing that we just discovered. We knew about ECEs, but they're certainly the most interesting ECE we've ever discovered. The story of how they were found is actually pretty interesting. So this is a quote directly from the article in Nature that describes it that came out this week. Banfield, who is a researcher, by the way, studies how microbes influence the carbon cycle, including the production and degradation of methane, a potent greenhouse gas. And in October 2019, she and her colleagues went hunting for ECEs containing genes involved in the carbon cycle in California wetlands.
They only had a truck, though, that could hold 10 carcasses, so they were limited.
There, they found the first Borgs and later identified 19 different types from this and similar sites in Colorado and California. So why is this so interesting? One is, this is a group, these methanogens, the archaea that produce this, they produce methane. Their cellular respiration cycle, the same way we put out carbon dioxide, they put out methane. Now, we know that's a big problem in terms of...
Politeness on an elevator, for one.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Open flame.
I mean, that's just funny at a party. I mean, that's...
Greenhouse gas emissions, obviously, it's a big deal. So methane production has been a concern of us for a long time. And by the way, we have some evidence that at least one extinction, possibly the Permian, was caused by out-of-control methanogens producing a whole bunch of methane. So we should be concerned about what's going on in these creatures, especially if what we're seeing is the ability to pass genes from one another as horizontal gene transfer in an easy, compact, already complete way, like this particular ECE, the Borg, because it could help them produce more methane. In fact, we're not sure what happened with some of those extinctions in the ancient past. Maybe one of these methanogens just got the right ECE, the right Borg, that allowed them to better produce methane, and that's what created that worldwide extinction, which killed way more than the dinosaur extinction. I think it killed like 90% of species on Earth. And it's especially concerning because when we look at this Borg, when we look at this ECE, we see that the genes that are there seem to be the ones that are encoding for parts of the metabolic process for methanogens, meaning this might make them a more efficient methanogen. It might make them produce methane better or quicker or faster. And unlike other, like, you know, when we think of us, when we think of eukaryotic animals, if a positive trait jumps into the population, in order for it to spread, somebody's got to fuck a bunch, and then their kid's got to fuck a bunch, and then their kid's got to fuck a bunch. But with this, because they have horizontal gene transfer, if they find something successful, it can transfer through the population without even needing a next generation. It can literally, like, I could share my genes with Damien if I wanted to. I figure out how to beat the system, I share it with Damien, now he's figured out how to beat the system.
Yeah, while we can't do that, while we can't exchange genes through horizontal gene transfer, we still keep trying to share genes the old-fashioned way, don't we, Bobby?
That's absolutely right. Made a lot of milkshakes, you know what I mean?
I just take a big gulp of a cup with that just says cup o' cum. Bobby, thanks for sending it over. Our fans will love that visual. Just that whole...
And like, frankly, if you think about it, if we could cut down methane production by some significant margin, it would be a huge, huge kick to the fight to climate change. And so like... If we do figure out that these Borgs are responsible for improving methanogen efficiency, and then we can then find some way to get rid of them or alter them in a way that they don't, well, then we could drastically reduce methane emission even further. Let's take it a step further. Let's say we go to town on this motherfucker. We genetically engineer these Borgs, and now they make the methanogens act or produce methane in a worse way, a less efficient way. And then we spread those ECEs, that Borg, through the population of methanogens. Well, we might be able to just really tamp down on methane production, natural methane production by archaea in the region. Really, really interesting. But also, like longer term, think of what CRISPR is. CRISPR is something we stole from bacteria that essentially it's a little device bacteria have inside themselves. They use it to cut up viruses that enter them so that they don't get infected, because yes, bacteria get infected by viruses too. We then stole that and used that as the most powerful gene editing tool that mankind has ever seen. What might we be able to do with something like an ECE? We might be able to steal some of its tricks for being able to kind of supplant certain genes in the population. So maybe somebody has mutated genes that cause them some problems, and we have no way to fix those genes. We can't take those genes completely out of all their DNA. So instead, we introduce some extra chromosomal elements. Now, keep in mind, it's very different in eukaryotes and prokaryotes, but assuming we could do so, we introduce some extra chromosomal elements that essentially supplant those bad genes. And now it doesn't matter if you have a genetic deletion or a genetic mutation, because you have this thing, this like backup. It's almost like you broke an arm, but you got a cast on, you know, and it keeps that arm in place. So there are some very interesting possibilities. This is one of those things where it's like you're looking at something, you're like, this is a really interesting new discovery, and it could be utterly terrifying or the future of genetic medicine. And we don't quite know right now which of those two it's going to be.
Of all the genes we're talking about stealing, I'm surprised nobody has talked about stealing the beaver anal gland gene. I mean, if anything, it'd just make eating ass more pleasant.
That is true.
Tastes like vanilla. I mean, like, hey, let me get an ass fix. If asses just tasted like vanilla.
Okay, all right, fair enough. I'll go with that. I did think you were going to go with, like, if there was one gene we were going to steal, it was going to be Gene Simmons.
It'd be Gene Wilder, you piece of shit. Gene Simmons.
He's dead!
Which means that his genes are super easy to get.
Wait, now you want Gene's genes? Now, okay, this is getting too meta. All right, let's move right on to article number two, where weed comes from.
You need a guy? Bobby, are you trying to say you're dry?
I literally live in a state where you can just go to a regular store and buy weed if you wanted to.
Yeah, are you just agoraphobic? Do you need somebody to get it for you? I'll hook you up, Bobby.
So a new study came out that pinpoints the origin location of cannabis, which, it should be noted, was actually a huge surprise. A lot of times these studies come out and they're like, hey, we found out this thing that we thought it came from this place. It does. And you're like, well, I guess that's cool, but like, you know, no big deal. In this case, it actually was a surprise. It is actually a different place than we had originally thought, or at least the majority of people had assumed.
Like, most people assume Jamaica, though, and that's just not going to be true.
So first, how in the world has it taken this long to figure out where weed comes from? I actually wondered this a long time ago, because about 15 years ago, I was like, hey, where does weed come from?
Conservative-ass scientist, that's why.
Well, you're not that far off. So I like looked it up, and there was no agreement. Most people thought probably Central Asia, maybe parts of Southwestern Asia. There's like a lot of different ideas and a lot of different reasoning, but no one came out. And I was like, wait a second, we have cladistics. You could look at the genetic structure of this. How is this possibly a mystery still? It turns out that the reasons are manifold. Number one is, once domesticated, cannabis was an incredibly useful plant, not only for its drug properties, but also for its fiber properties. And so it is all over Eurasia. It is everywhere.
So by fiber, you mean it promoted regularity?
Yes.
In your edibles, because your edibles were just eating the plant.
You'd get super high and then just take massive dumps.
Yeah, but it was like a cathartic dump. Listen, I ate a fucking raw boar yesterday. I need something to clear me out.
So it's everywhere. And because it's everywhere, it's really hard to kind of like figure out where the origin point is, because it's so widespread. That, and we have since found out that the origin points, the basal plants that it came from, are now extinct. But that is one thing. Number two is, it was really hard to do research. If you were here in the U.S., you couldn't have federal funding. Most places wouldn't allow you to do government-funded research on this. And so you just plain weren't getting the data. Like, we didn't have the information because of this weird legal position that cannabis is in many countries, our own included, that made it where you couldn't fund the research. And then we had all of the material sitting in front of us to find the answer, but nobody had the fucking wallet to pull out to pay for the guy to do the assay test. And so we didn't do anything. So those kind of combined into this perfect storm of us having no idea essentially where cannabis came from for the past, you know, couple decades, and just assuming, well, we see a lot of different stuff in Central Asia and blah, 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 and a lot of things that look like this, and a lot of these hemp plants and blah, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the new study came out and they sequenced, I think, like 80 some odd different cannabis plants. And there was only like 20 some odd sequenced before then. And they were able to use all of this data to basically come to a conclusion. So what you do is, when you're doing this type of work, you kind of see, all right, where is the oldest branching points? Let's see what the least related cannabis plants are and work our way backwards. And then let's see where this particular thing that we consider basal shares an affinity to this thing in the wild. And that's probably what we've got going on. And they did that, and they found that it likely came from China, specifically northwestern China, near the borders of Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan.
Yeah, nobody thinks of China when they think of stoners, but they were OG Kush stoners back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, that was where it originally came from. And we've seen in the archaeological record, we see cannabis seeds in ancient China thousands of years ago. Now, this is further back. We're going to say that this, you know, is probably about 10,000 years ago at its origin point, and, you know, has spread out over and been redefined and cultivated and domesticated and all that stuff in the interim. But very, very interesting to see not only where it came from, but that it appears that those plants are extinct. Those basal type plants are extinct in northern China now, though some relatives of them have been growing essentially wild in South and Southeast Asia for hundreds, if not thousands, of years, because they were cultivated for their, you know, drug properties.
What would Chinese Cheech and Chong be like? I've been trying to imagine that in my head, and I can't even wrap my head around what a pot comedy duo in China.
Well, I mean, you have half of one in Harold and Kumar, I guess.
Bobby, I'm not going to take part in that. Are you talking about Kumar? Yeah, his dad was talking about Cal Penn. Yeah, I could see that. I think his mom was Chinese or something. Yeah.
You know what else they found is that all drug type marijuana is actually under the same species, which is cannabis sativa. Previously, we had thought cannabis indica was a separate species. They've actually now just redefined it as a subgroup within the same species, as well as ruderalis, which is a Central Asian variety that we've kind of like, we co-opted this. It's not one you commonly hear about. You always hear about indica and sativa.
Is my dealer holding out on me? Like, has there been a third option this whole fucking time?
Well, it's never used for its drug products, really. It's not like that is a separate type of drug product that you like, that somebody would like better. But it was bred in to steal a specific genetic trick it has. So certain people who grow cannabis will have variants that come from ruderalis because they want the plant to do something different, which is normally cannabis will stay in its vegetative state until the sun gets to a certain point season, and then it will start, you know, making its flowers and its buds or whatever. But the Central Asian type, that one actually just starts flowering after a certain amount of time. So sometimes cannabis growers will crossbreed that in there so that their grows can go much faster, because then they can grow, they can keep their grow lights on longer and stuff and still keep it in their flowering stage.
So it's cannabis's lamer, but, you know, hardworking, early rising cousin.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, Russian cousin.
Yeah, you're not going to invite him to a party, but he does marathons. He's awesome. Blah, blah, blah. He's a pediatrician. Blah, blah, blah.
Now, does it matter that we found the location of cannabis? Not really. It's interesting. I'm always somebody who's super interested to know where plants come from. Like the things that you think of Ireland is like, oh, what about Ireland? Well, they love potatoes. And it's like, motherfucker, potatoes were from the New World. They didn't even see a potato until they came back from South America. And so like, just thinking about how plants shape our history and our culture and our world, especially cannabis, which did a lot, it doesn't matter necessarily in terms of we're going to get something tangible out of it. It does in terms of like, oh, this is really interesting and it's a big part of our history. It might also be interesting if we are able to find the most basal type plants that are around down there. And then maybe, you know, who knows, maybe find some genetic properties of them that we could then use in modern day cannabis plants to increase fiber production or drug production or whatever we're trying to do at that point.
Yeah, you know what? We may not have discovered the bloody frickin' potato, but I tell you what we did do. We're the first ones to get a potato drunk.
I think that's probably true. Followed quickly and incessantly by the Russians.
The Irish and the Russians have both used potato in domestic violence. Both as physical object and fuel for domestic violence.
Sometimes victim of. all right. Thank you, audience, for coming back for episode 570, where you learned all about the discovery of the Borg and where weed came from. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 571.
Nor thank you, sir. I don't need any marijuana. I'm high on life and Irish weed, which is just whiskey.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.